Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a story of intrigue and danger. The true story of a young American agent at Casablanca, starring the young American actor, Robert Mitchum. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They have the pride of craftsmen in their name, H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K, Hallmark. That's why Hallmark cards are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. So when you want to send the very finest, look on the back for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. To be doubly sure, always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Now to preside over our program this evening, here's our regular master of ceremonies, the young Broadway actor and producer, Richard Calmer.
Thank you, Tom Shirley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you one of Hollywood's busiest young actors, Robert Mitchum. You've seen him in the story of G.I. Joe, Till the End of Time, and Undercurrent. And now you're going to hear him in a very different kind of drama. Welcome to Reader's Digest Radio Edition, Bob.
Thank you, Dick. I'm mighty glad to be here. And you know you're right about tonight's play. It is different. It has the same high quality that we always find in Hallmark greeting cards.
And in your acting, Bob. Yes, tonight's story from Reader's Digest is one of the strangest stories of high intrigue and desperation to come out of the war. Top secret stuff in a world of blackout and suspicion, when a false step meant the fate of the Navy or maybe the entire war. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards present Robert Mitchum in We Were Expecting You at the Car. In a pitch black night in November 1942, the Allied fleet moved silently and swiftly toward Casablanca to open the second front in North Africa. On board one of the battle wagons, two young officers whispered together.
Quiet, huh?
Yeah, it's awfully quiet.
Apparently the Germans don't expect us.
No.
You think there's anything fishy about this quietness?
No, I think we're going to slip right into Casablanca without any trouble.
I wonder where the German U-boats are. Why aren't they after us?
Because they're a long way to the east of us. I know. They're expecting us at Dakar.
The young naval officer who said that had good reason to believe the Germans expected us at Dakar, because he was one of the men who had led the Germans to think that that was where we would strike. This is his story. It starts much earlier, when he was in Washington assigned to Naval Intelligence. One day, he was summoned to the Office of Strategic Services, where Colonel William Donovan himself spoke to him.
You're Donald Custer, eh?
Yes, sir.
They tell me you're smart.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? Why?
Well, that'll mean you have some work for me to do.
You are smart.
And I'm lazy, too, sir.
You haven't even heard what the job is, and yet you don't want it. Why?
Well, if your office is getting out, it's going to be dangerous, sir.
And you're afraid of danger?
I'm scared to death.
Good. If you weren't afraid of danger, you'd be foolhardy. Bungle the whole thing. As it is, I'm afraid you'll have to give up trying to get out of it, Custer.
All right, sir, but you can't blame a guy for trying.
Not at all. I wouldn't like this assignment myself.
What is the assignment, sir?
We're going to take you out of that uniform, Custer. From now on, you dress in civvies.
Every dark cloud has a silver lining.
Well, you're still in the Navy, but nobody's to know that. You're going on a payroll of the State Department. You'll be a vice consul.
Yes, sir?
Where? In Casablanca.
Casablanca? That's in Africa, isn't it, sir?
Yes. Now, listen carefully, Costa, because we can't write any of this down.
There's a German armistice commission in Casablanca enforcing the terms the Germans imposed on the French in 1940. Officially, that's their job, and they're doing it all too well. But they have another job.
Espionage?
Espionage. They're trying to find out anything and everything that they can, but one thing particularly. The Germans want to know, and the German Armistice Commission in Casablanca is trying to learn where we'll invade.
And I'm to try to keep them from finding out.
No, Coster. You're to help them find out. The wrong place.
Ooh.
Yes. Your job is to make the Germans think we'll invade at Dakar.
Dakar. Weizen. How do I go about it?
That's entirely up to you, Coster.
Well, that sounds like a large order.
It is a large order. Now we'll start by getting the German intelligence to accept the fact that there's a man named Coster in the State Department. You'll be assigned to England first. You'll show up at diplomatic dinner parties, all that sort of thing, until we think it's time to send you to Casablanca.
And from then on, I'm on my own.
That's right. Any questions?
No, sir, I've got it straight. Well, there is one question. Yeah.
What is it?
If the Germans find out that I'm just kidding them, then what?
Then? Well, one thing certainly, and one thing possibly. Certainly, they'll kill you. And possibly, we'll lose the war.
Mr. Coster?
What? Oh, hello, Evelyn.
Nice party, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, it's amazing to me how you people in London manage to keep up your spirits.
Nonsense. The privations are good for the waistline. I hear you're leaving London.
Who told you that?
Shouldn't I know?
Oh, I suppose it's all right for you to know. Yes, I'm leaving tomorrow.
For Casablanca?
Who told you that?
Nobody.
Then why did you pick on Casablanca?
Just a hope I have.
Yes?
Yes. I have a friend there. I'm afraid he's in a Vichyite concentration camp.
That's too bad.
Now, if someone were going to Casablanca...
Which I'm not.
All right, but if you were, I wish you'd look up my friend and try to help him.
I would, if I were going there.
His name is Freddy Werfel. He's Austrian.
Too bad I'm not going there.
Yes, isn't it?
Excuse me, Evelyn, I think you promised me this, Don.
Of course. You'll excuse me, Mr. Coster.
Certainly.
Goodbye, and when you get to where you're going, look up Freddy Werfel.
How about that?
Oh, Coster, you seem to have the pip.
Hello, Sir Henry. I have got the pip. The willies, we call it back home.
Well, come on into the library and tell me about it. Huh?
Gladly.
Sit down. Cigar?
No, thanks. Look, Sir Henry, that girl...
Oh, Evelyn?
Yes. Yes, she knows I'm going to Casablanca.
Oh, I wouldn't let that worry you, Coster. You see, she's one of us.
She's in British intelligence?
Yes.
That slip of a girl?
So don't worry, Coster.
I'm greatly relieved.
Doubtless. Now, there's one thing I think you ought to know before you get to Casablanca.
What is it?
You've got to watch out for General Theodore Auer.
General Theodore Auer?
The chief of the German Armistice Commission. He's the man you're going to have to fool. And he's ruthless, sinister, and intelligent. Be careful of him, Coster.
Oh, yeah, I'll be careful. Say, Sir Henry...
Yes?
That girl, Evelyn, she told me to look up a fellow named Freddy Werfel.
Well, I'd look him up by all means. But the most important thing is, be careful of General Auer.
General Auer.
Yes, Fritz?
A new American vice consul has arrived in Casablanca this afternoon.
His name?
Coster. Donald Coster. Here's his record.
Donald Coster. Yes. 28 years old. Advertising agency executive before the war. Received a commission in the Navy. But then got out of it and became an employee of the State Department. Has been in London.
Yeah, Herr General. It is from London that he comes.
Yes. The question about Mr. Donald Coster, Fritz, is this. Did he use influence to get out of uniform? Or did the Americans take him out of uniform to fool us? What has he done since he arrived?
Went from the airport to the Grand Hotel. Stayed there 1 hour. Made one phone call to the American embassy. Took a taxi to the embassy. Stayed there only half an hour. Went back to the hotel.
Nothing suspicious?
Just one thing here, General. When he called the embassy, he asked if anyone there knew a man named Freddy Versel.
Did they know a man named Freddy Versel?
No, Herr General.
Do we know a man named Freddy Versel?
Yeah, Herr General. He is Austrian. He is in one of our camps.
Release him. Bring him to me. I can use Freddy Versel.
One moment.
Yes?
You're Donald Coster?
Yes.
I'm Freddy Versel.
Well, come in. To sit down?
Thank you.
They tell me you were looking for me.
Who told you that?
Friends of mine at the American Embassy.
Nobody at the embassy knew you.
You mean nobody at the embassy said he knew me?
Huh?
You see, my work is secret. Those who know me are secret workers, too.
That would mean you think I'm one.
That's what I think. Otherwise, how would you know about me?
From a girl named Evelyn.
Evelyn? Yes. Well, how is she?
She's very well. But all Evelyn told me about you was that you were in a concentration camp and you might need some help.
Well, I was released from the camp.
Good. How did you work that?
Bribes.
I see. Well, apparently you don't need help, then. That was the only reason I had for looking you up.
No, but I do need help.
Yes?
The Germans assassinated my contact.
Contact?
Yes. The American agent who has been sending to Washington the information that I get from the Germans. I am a spy, Mr. Coster, and I'm convinced you are too. All I'm asking is that you take information from me and send it along to your superiors.
Well, I'm not a spy, but I'm willing to string along on a proposition like that.
Good. Shall we drink on it?
We shall drink on it.
Well, Freddy Raffle, did Donald Custer believe you? Or do I send you back to the concentration camp?
Donald Custer believed me, General. I'll be able to do what you want me to do with him.
Robert Mitchum will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. Now, here's Dick Kalman.
Years ago, an American general was offered a fabulous salary to act as president of a large company. But he protested, "I know nothing about your business." The officials of the company replied, "Oh, that makes no difference. All we want is your name." General Robert E. Lee refused the position, saying, "If my name is worth so much, don't you think I should take very good care of it?" Well, the folks who make Hallmark greeting cards have the same feeling about their name. Every card they make carries the Hallmark name, so every detail is carefully planned and carefully executed. We think the difference shows. They're not making just cards, they're making Hallmark cards to express cheer and happiness as thoughtfully and sincerely as you would greet a friend yourself. That's why Hallmark cards say what you want to say the way you want to say it. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. That's why discriminating folks look on the back of the cards they send and receive for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. In the weeks that followed, Donald Coster was busy, but not with State Department business. He was digging up information. The owner of a fishing fleet drew a chart for him of the approaches of the Moroccan coast. A French architect who had escaped from forced labor camps in Germany gave Donald drawings of the German flak towers that he had helped build. But his only connection with General Auer's headquarters was through Freddy Verhoeven. But Freddy had not been too helpful so far. Donald spoke to him about this one day.
You know, Freddy, this information you've been getting for me, it's pretty sketchy.
It's reliable.
Yeah. Yes, whenever we've been able to check it, we've found that it's true. We've also found that it's usually something that our intelligence already knew.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know just as well as you do that the information I've given you is trivial stuff.
And you say it comes directly from General Auer's headquarters?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it comes directly from General Auer himself.
Oh, that's very interesting. How do you get it?
I trick it out of him. Naturally, he doesn't give away any big secrets.
You trick it out of him. Frankly, I don't believe that.
No?
No. General Auer's a little too smart to be fooled by you.
No,
you listen to me. You know, you haven't been frank at all. You've been telling me lies.
Every bit of information I gave you...
Every bit of information you've given me is correct. Correct and useless.
But
except the information you gave me about yourself. You lied to me, didn't you?
No.
All right, no. Now, let's take a look at what you told me. You told me that you had bribed your way out of a concentration camp. And you told me that you wanted to give me information because your American contact had been assassinated.
And you don't believe me?
I believe one thing in your story, that you were in a concentration camp. But you didn't get out by bribing anybody. General Auer let you out. He let you out because he knew I was looking for you. And he felt that you might win my confidence and you might get some information from me.
That's ridiculous.
Is it? Then explain this. No American agent in Casablanca has disappeared. No American agent has been assassinated.
You've checked my story, then?
Naturally.
I see.
Well?
I was afraid of it. You're right, of course, but I'm anti-Nazi. I swear I'm anti-Nazi. I had to do what I did.
Or else you'd have been sent back to the concentration camp.
Yes, and they would have killed me there.
All right. Now we understand each other. Now, what's the general's game?
I don't know. He wants me to get information from you.
But you haven't asked me for any yet.
I've been working up to it. I've been stalling him off as long as I can. But he's getting impatient. Listen, Costa, I'm at the end of my rope. If I don't do what the general wants me to do... Costa, I don't want to die.
Can't blame you.
But if I don't get the information...
All right. Shut up. Now, look. What's your relationship with me supposed to be? What does the general think I give you for all this stuff you tell me? Money?
No, you are supposed to be helping me to get out of Casablanca.
Oh, I see.
But he's suspicious now. He accused me of not knowing you at all. He says I've got to prove I'm a friend of yours.
Good, we'll prove it to him.
How?
You know the black market restaurant on the hill?
You're not going up there.
Why not?
Well, every waiter there is in the pay of the general.
That's all the better. You tell General Auer that you and I are dining there tomorrow night. If he wants to see what great friends we are, tell him to be there.
Well, all right.
And, Freddy.
Yes?
Tell the General tell him I drink a lot.
Bring him to the next table.
Voila, mon général. A fine table, mon général.
Excuse me, Freddy, old sock, old chum, old partner. Wait, what are you doing with this man? Will you get me my wine?
One moment, monsieur. I'm seeking the général.
General? Si. Are you a general?
Yes, I'm General Auer.
Well, I don't like your army. And I don't like your country either.
The feeling is quite mutual. Waiter, will you kindly steer this fellow back to his own table?
Yes, mon général. Come, Monsieur Costa. You see, I have your wine for you.
Well, it's about time, eh?
Hey, Freddy, you hear me tell the general off?
I heard you.
Wait, I opened the wire. There you are, monsieur.
Okay. Now go on back and wait on that lousy general.
Wait, monsieur. If you want me, call me, monsieur.
I'm scared to death, Costa. You can't speak to General Hour the way you did.
Don't worry, Freddy. I know what I'm doing. Come on, let's have wine.
Wine,
I think it's a shame. It's a shame. I'm going to see that lousy general about it. I think it's a shame.
What are you doing?
Shut up. Will you string along? I'm going to see that lousy general right now. You wait right there, Freddy, old boy. Say, you general.
You want something, American?
Yes, I want something. I want to know what's the idea of not letting my friend out of Casablanca.
The French authorities have the say on those matters.
That's a lie, and you know it. Now, look, General. You better let my friend leave Casablanca.
If I have anything to do with it, he will stay here.
All right. All right, if you want to get tough about it, I'll get him out myself. Freddy? Hey, Freddy. Freddy, I'll get you out of this city. You don't have to wait for a passport. I know where you can go, and you'll be safe. Is he listening?
Yes.
You think you got to get a passport. You think you got to go to Lisbon. You think you got to go to England. Well, you don't, see? You don't need a passport. I know where it's going to be very, very safe pretty soon.
Where?
What? Oh, no. Oh, I'm not going to tell you. There's that German general at the next table. He's probably listening to me, and it's a secret, see?
Waiter.
Oui, mon général.
Bend down here, waiter, as if you were taking an order.
Yes, sir, general.
The American has a secret he wants to tell his friend. And he won't tell him while I am here. So I am leaving.
I am to listen, General?
Yes, listen. I do not trust that friend of the American. He is against us. You listen. And you report to me.
Yes, sir, General.
You know, I can tell you. I can tell you where it'll be very safe.
The General's leaving.
Good. Goodbye, Herr General. Good riddance. Good riddance. Hey, waiter.
He's gone. What do we do now?
Just what I wanted. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can tell you where it'll be safe.
You wanted me, monsieur?
Look, wait a minute, will you, waiter? I gotta tell my friend something. Now, Freddy, listen. You don't have to go to Lisbon. You don't have to get a passport. All you gotta do is to get permission to go to... Is the general gone? Hey, waiter, is that general gone?
Yes, sir.
Good, then he can't hear me. Now, Freddy, listen. You go to Dakar. Get permission to go to Dakar.
Dakar.
Dakar, yeah. I happen to know that this boy, Dakar, is going to be very safe for anti-Nazi. Hey, waiter.
Yes, monsieur.
Get us some rare wine, will you? None of this stuff you've been giving us. Come on, get us some rare wine.
The stock is very low, monsieur. If the gentleman wants some rare wine, I'll have to see the boss about it.
It's all right. That's what I want you to do. You go see the boss.
Quiet, huh, Custer?
Yeah, it's awfully quiet.
You ought to start bombarding pretty soon.
Yeah.
This place we're invading, this Casablanca. Wonder what it's like.
You know, I was there once. Not long ago.
Did you like it?
I was scared to death every minute I was there.
That's the bombardment.
This is it.
Thank you.
an outrage.
That's all right, boys. You just leave the general here with me. He'll cool off.
Yes, sir.
Well, General, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you a few questions.
What is the meaning of this? What are you Americans doing here? We were expecting you at Dakar.
Yeah. Yes, I know, General. I know you. I enjoyed the role, Dick. I really enjoyed it. But to tell you the truth, I'm still scared. You know, I wonder if the men who pulled off that trick will ever find life as exciting as that again.
It may not be exciting, but it's still tough. You know, we have a great many men in the armed forces today here in Auburn, and the Red Cross continues to provide recreation for those men through clubs and facilities throughout the world. They need now $60 million to continue those services. That's why we're saying tonight, give to the Red Cross as generously as you can. By giving, you are directly helping the men now serving in the armed forces overseas and at home.
You know, Dick, that makes you stop and think. The men in the armed forces today are simply carrying on the job that was begun at Dakar and Okinawa and Normandy Beach.
Yes, it's too easy to forget those names.
Yeah, and the men who went first. Now, that hit me the other day when I came across a poem in the Reader's Digest. It's the other side of the story. The side none of us must ever forget.
Read it for us, Bob.
It's called Letter to St. Peter by Elmer Dean. Let them in, Peter. They're very tired. Give them the couches where the angels sleep. Let them wake whole again, the new dawns fired with sun, not war. And may their peace be deep. Remember where the broken bodies lie. Give them things they like. Let them make noise. God knows how young they were to have to die. Give swing bands, not gold hearts, to these, our boys. Let them love, Peter. They've had no time. World's sweetest meadow wind with flowering hair. They should have trees and bird song, hills to climb. The taste of summer in a ripened pear. Tell them how they're missed. Say not to fear. It's going to be all right with us down here.
Thank you again, Robert Mitchell. Remember, when you want to greet a friend, send a Hallmark card. For whatever the occasion, a Hallmark card will say what you want to say the way you want to say it. So always look in the back of the card you choose for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those three words, a Hallmark card, are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's program sponsored by Hallmark greeting cards. At that time, you will hear the true and heartwarming story of a naturalized American. Our star will be playing a return engagement on this program. Your letters have asked for him, and we were lucky enough to catch him between his Broadway and Hollywood assignments, Otto Kruger. Robert Mitchum appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick and may currently be seen in RKO's The Locker. Mr. Mitchum was supported on tonight's drama by Kermit Murdoch as General Auer and Stefan Schnabel as Freddy Berthold. We Were Expecting You at Dakar was dramatized by Robert Sanadella from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look in the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Tom Shirley speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards and for your friendly Hallmark dealer. You'll find a wide selection of Hallmark cards at America's finest shops and stores. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting System.